Welcome to the Personal Branding Podcast with Seema. I'm Seema Batavia, a brand strategist and coach who helps people get dream clients by creating personal brands that convert. Hello there, everybody. So excited to see you. We are going to be chatting with Lucas O'Keefe, and I am so thrilled to have a discussion on personal branding with him.
Hey, how's it going?
There he is.
This has been a long time in the making.
Well, I'm going to be picking your brain. But before we start, Lucas, 99.23, what is it today?
99.3. I sound like a radio station. I woke up this morning. I was like, oh, you know what? A popular radio station here in Toronto is 99.9. And maybe I'll tag them if I get there and screenshot it. We'll see.
So you are going to hit 100K tomorrow, pretty much, right?
Definitely not tonight. Maybe I hope I don't have anything planned for a milestone, so I wouldn't mind a day or two to kind of figure it out.
Isn't that insane, though, Lucas? Did you ever think that you'd have such a large audience?
No, I didn't. And I think that's really what ends up being really cool about the Instagram effect, where that moment. I always talk about momentum and the snowball effect, really, right? But that's really where it does get exciting, because even as you get there, you start to really, there hits a point where you do see that traction, and you know this too, obviously, right? Where we hit like 20K, or like 10K even, 15K, 20K, and then it starts to really scale. Like you look at the milestones, you look at how long it took you to go from zero to 1K, and then you're doing that instead in like a day or two compared to back when that was like 3 months work to just get your first 1,000 followers. So it does become an interesting feeling, but even at like 50K, 60K, I didn't think I would be getting to this point. So it is very fun. It's very exciting. It's been exciting. It's been great.
And that's been under a year, right?
Just a bit over a year. So I started about March 2020 is when I started, mid to late March. So a bit over, but yeah, it's been good. I think I got about 90 in a year.
That's insane. Okay, so before I dive into my line of questioning, because I've got a lot to ask you today, could you just very briefly introduce yourself to the audience? Some may be new, who may not be familiar with you. So I'd love to know, who is Lucas O'Keefe?
Yeah, so many people know this. My background is actually in education. I'm a school teacher. I still am a school teacher. But that's how I got into social media. And the common example I use, I heard this from Gary Vee first, but Gary Vee said this, and he was one of the first inspirations I had to even get on social media. But he was one of the first ones to say this, where it's something like, whatever apps or whatever social media platforms are on the phones of like today's 13, 14 year old teens or like preteens are going to be the apps that take the world by storm, right? Because that is such a massive group of students or like of people who are, at pace with the trends. They know what's cool. They know what's hip. I sound old saying hip, but they know what is interesting, and they know what's going to keep going up, right? They kind of drive culture now. So as a teacher, I would hear my students talking about like TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, even things like that. So that's really what showed me the real communication powerhouse that social media is. I got on myself, dove into things like TikTok and Instagram, and just started, teaching. I started chatting about the strategy behind how people can grow there. And I think now, because we're going to talk about this for sure and how our brands have developed, I think now it's become more about how people, less about the strategy, even though I do like the practical tips, more just about how people can communicate and present themselves as who they want to be, which is why I'm super excited to be chatting with you, because I think that's something you do so well, like better than anybody on here. You talk about, what are you good at? Who are you? How can you deliver that message in the way that's comfortable for you and resonates with your audience? So that's really what I found. I hopped on social media, discovered Instagram was, I think, the golden platform, where it's just miles ahead of everything else, has so many options for brands and businesses, personal brand companies, anything like that. And just started growing here and chatting about that. So
awesome. Here we are. Awesome. Lucas, that's a huge thing to kind of like put yourself out there as a teacher, especially, right? Like there's privacy involved. It's your name, your face, all of that out there. So number one, what did it take for you to kind of step out of that shell saying, okay, I am actually putting my name, my face out there as a teacher? And second, do you think it takes any kind of like specific kind of person? Like, do you need to have certain qualities, look a certain way, act a certain way in order to achieve that kind of fame that you did?
Those are awesome questions. Yeah. And first of all, the first thing I'll speak to you on that is I was totally nervous to even get on social media because of the teacher thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was afraid that, you know, all it takes is one. And again, I'm not doing anything inappropriate, right? Like I'm covering pretty socially acceptable subject mm-hmm. matter here, right? Mm-hmm. But even then I was worried that like all it takes is a student to like hop on and be like, oh, here's Mr. O'Keefe's social media, everybody. Did you guys know about this? And then that's circulating. Parents of students are talking and things like that. And, you know, a big part of teachers college. So when I was going through university, a big thing they teach you is like, watch your social safety, right? Like your cyber safety, make sure you are not posting anything that can really lose you your job and ruin your career, which I think just kind of sticks with people. So I think I, more than the average person, I was a little bit afraid to even start, not even looking at like how my friends and family would view it, right? Cause that's a whole other thing. But, it was a very nerve-wracking experience. I think what I had to do was just start though, right? So just actually getting out there, starting and creating. And as for the second part, on that note, I think that's why anybody can do it, right? Anybody can do it, but they have to do it in their own way is probably, right? And this is why, again, I'm going to keep referencing your content because I love how you focus on like the introvert style, right? Because that is such a huge population of people who think they can't do this, right? I consider myself a huge introvert. I posted the other day about how we don't like the sound of our own voices, and that was from personal experience. And honestly, I like being on this kind of thing. This is like second nature to me. It's like, you know, doing super simple tasks is like how I equate showing up live and on camera now, which I never thought I'd be able to do. But put me in like a room full of people in person. I know we don't have those opportunities these days, but like back when I was like at conferences or like even in the staff room at a new school when I was getting a new job, I was uncomfortable like having conversations. I would always default to like the weather or sports. Those were like my two go-to. And I would catch myself being like, man, I talk about the weather and sports way too much. Hopefully, good thing they're different people every time, so they don't catch on. But I need to get some new material to talk about, or I need to learn how to carry a conversation. With me being that person, I think anybody can really just develop the skills that allow them to communicate. Mm-hmm. But it starts by talking about what you're comfortable with and what you actually know, right? I think so many people try to communicate in a way that someone else does. Like someone might hear me speaking and try to communicate how I'm communicating, but that's not what works for their skill set. So I think anybody can do it, but anybody can do it, but you have to do it in your own way. And finding out that way is actually what takes the most work, in my opinion.
Okay. So here I'm going to quickly do a little segue. So Lucas, you've kind of like, you've gone through my personal brand mastery course, right?
Yes.
First of all, I was not aware that you're an introvert. So this is like a new news we're going to touch upon this. But do you think having a system like that or knowing how to like navigate your brand step by step does help somebody if they go about that?
Yes. And as I was going through your course, the main thing that stood out to me was, you know, having clarity is what leads to confidence, right? That is what, and as I was going through it, I was like, this is doing exactly that. It's giving clarity, right? Because when you understand who you are, how you want to be represented, who you want to be represented to, and things like that, you all of a sudden, like, it's like working with a template, right? It's kind of how I felt going through this course is that you're developing a template for yourself. So you know, who you're going to be, who you want to be, and how you want to kind of communicate that to people. And that's ultimately what gives confidence. Going into teaching, going into public speaking, anything, I have found that confidence is the real factor that matters, right? Or preparation. The more prepared you are for something, the more confident you can be. And it's the same thing. If I even look at like my day to day, if I'm ever like having a lazy week as a teacher and I go into like the lesson, not really have, like I can always kind of pull something out of my hat and get a lesson going on if I need to, but I have a much better day when I know what I'm teaching, right? Like I know exactly what I'm going to do, the structure I'm going to follow, the lesson plan I have. If I do that, my day is going to be better. My student's day is going to be better compared to just like making it up as I go, because then I'm not confident. I'm playing catch up. So I find clarity is a huge part of personal branding, in my opinion. Clarity is what builds that confidence that allows you to do these things.
I love that you said that, Lucas, because one thing that people don't realize about personal brands is the fact that you decide what you're going to be seen as.
Yeah.
You decide how you want people to know you. You decide your positioning. You decide what kind of guy you're going to be. Like, you just labeled me as the introvert person, right? You didn't have to. But right. I set up my content. I set up myself so that you would know me as that, right? So if, like today, you're the social media guy. Like, you're the social media guru. Prior to that, you're the TikTok guy, which you have nicely segued into this. What's next then? What's after being social media guy? Is that going to evolve?
You have no idea how much that is, like, drilling into my head every day now. So that's actually the biggest pressure I have right now, that that's something I need to now. That's why your course came at a perfect time, because that's where I now want to go with my clarity. So I think what I'm going to do is take it a second time, like go through mm-hmm. it a second time and use mm-hmm. it for my future. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, cause I've used it for this brand and now I want to use it to help me like drive where I should go next. Overlapping with obviously what I've done, but I had an interesting conversation in my comment section today. I'm sure Ramon was involved. I saw Ramon in here. I think he started it or something. But a few people, he said something like, we want you to post like beard tips or something, like how you maintain your beard, how you grow your beard and stuff like that. And I was jokingly like, oh, I don't think people would like that or people would care about that. And like probably 5 or 6 people, which is quite a bit because I didn't pin the comment. So people just mm-hmm. happened to notice it and were commenting. Quite a few people were saying things like, no, like I have all these questions, like at least just tell us like how you maintained it, how you got it to this point, what you use. And obviously that's the thing is I see other areas to grow my personal brand in a very mm-hmm. unique way. I think that is mm-hmm. unique to me, things I like talking about. Mm-hmm. We've spoken about this. I really want a podcast, but I don't want to do my podcast on Instagram tips.
Yeah.
So I haven't started it yet. And I don't think I will. I won't look at it till summer. But mm-hmm. when I have my podcast or even going on YouTube or something, I want it to be something different than what I do here. Mm. But I also want to use a good portion of this audience, right? So that's the power of the personal brand, I think, is that people like your content for you as opposed to like what people like our content for us as opposed to our niche, right? So mm-hmm. it becomes the fact that they like hearing it from us. So mm-hmm. I'm just thinking now, like, okay, what parts of this personal brand and this audience mm-hmm. can I now take and turn into something new that I'm going to like for my next step? So that's on my mind. I have no idea. But it's something I think about a lot.
I'm glad you said that. And Shauna just said that I like your beard. And you know this because every time I'm in any of your lives, the first thing I say is, hello, Lucas's beard. Because usually you're on a live with Trevor, for example. Yes, right? So it's always Trevor's hat and your beard the color of shirt that you're wearing. And that is what a personal brand is, don't you think, Lucas? Like, that's memorable.
Yes. Yeah, so that's exactly what I was about to say when we were about to say something. That's the cool thing about being on here. And I really think everyone should make that their goal. We like you and I in particular, and many people in the audience, we all kind of started as this like very graphic design oriented community, even though mm-hmm. we're not graphic designers. Like, you and I mm-hmm. aren't graphic designers. We just we just have messages to communicate, and we found good ways to do it that look nice enough for people to give our message a chance, right? Mm-hmm. To give it a chance to read our message. And that's what resonates. But we see so many people who I think get kind of stuck just mm-hmm. focused on the graphic design, mm-hmm. and they're just designing in the same way as everybody else, right? Like, they're not actually carving out their own brand. And I think that's what we really need to do. Video content is obviously, in my opinion, the way to do that, right? Because nobody's going to start making comments about like my beard and stuff like that, or like just funny little things about our personality. Nobody's going to notice those things until mm-hmm. we put them on video, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're hopping on stories, I made a big funny thing about my stories because up till January or February, I didn't have my beard, right? Which was unique for me, because right before I made this account, so February 2020, I had this like the last 7 years of my life. But I shaved it completely, and then I made the Instagram account. So for most of my Instagram life, people didn't know I had a beard. And then I made it like a funny story thing from January to February, where I started growing it back and I was tracking the progress. But that is, even though it has nothing to do with my Instagram niche, mm-hmm. I think that is a funny example of people started to subscribe to me and to understand my content as coming from me. And that's why I can post content that many other people have covered, like same topics, right? Like pretty much same result, but mm-hmm. people value my content differently because they've now subscribed to me. They like learning it from me. And I think that's what everyone should try to do, is really just work on finding out who you are and how people like to get information from you, and really leverage that on top of the topics that you're covering, because it's a good way to stand out.
I love what you said there. So let me segue into what you said about, okay, the way you set up your account, the type of content you're creating, the message that you're giving, right?
Yes.
So there's two things to that. Number one is the actual way that you're presenting your message, which is the design part and the presentation. And the second part of it is actually the means through which you're presenting your message. So you, for a long time, and I think you still say this a lot, is content repurposing, right?
Yes.
Just because you're creating content on Instagram does not mean that it stays on Instagram. You can do a lot with it. So could you just talk about how you can get maximum reach just by creating one piece of content?
Yeah, totally. Right now, I have dived back into LinkedIn again. Mm-hmm. And again, not even as consistent as Instagram, but probably just 3 or 4 times a week, I am taking, and I only do it every few days because on Instagram, I'm posting every day, but not all of my content on Instagram is perfect for LinkedIn. I see a lot of people, let me kind of start again and say where I'm going with this. But when we're repurposing is huge. It is great to show up on multiple platforms because it not only, many people think of it as a way to get new audience. I actually don't think that's the greatest strength of repurposing. I think the greatest strength of repurposing is, you know, reinforcing who you are and the kind of network you have with your current audience. So tons of people here in the audience right now and people who I've connected with on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm now connecting with on LinkedIn. I'm now connecting with on Twitter, and it's the same people. So it's not like I'm adding new people to my network. But I'm reinforcing what I have with those people. And it's been an interesting approach because, I'm sure you understand this too. Like, it's hard for us to manage our DMs on here now. It's getting very busy. Like, we have tons of inquiries. I feel bad about it all the time, right? Like, I always feel bad, because it's difficult to keep in touch with everybody on here. And I know someone literally just said I haven't replied to them on LinkedIn. So it's kind of going to sound in contrast to what I just said. But, where I'm going with this is it's actually easier to reach me on LinkedIn. So I'm able to now start reinforcing things with people on LinkedIn who I maybe can't keep in touch with on here because it's so busy. So that's a big thing. But secondly, now, I'm not only as someone who wants to expand their brand. I think we should always be trying to do that, right? I am, by being on LinkedIn and even starting with Twitter and stuff and maybe eventually YouTube, I'm not only just the Instagram guy. I think I am becoming known as a greater authority in social media in general, right? Or even as a communicator. Because I think when we look at, if we want to look at our potential, let's look at Gary Vee. Gary Vee doesn't just talk, like for a while he was talking about like LinkedIn or TikTok. Now he's talking about like Clubhouse. Gary Vee isn't one platform. Now he's talking about NFTs quite a bit, right?
Like, yeah.
And he's doing his little cartoons, which I think he's going to drop on Wednesday. I think he's going to start selling those NFTs. But he's not just the one platform guy. He never has been. Well, he started as the wine guy. Actually, no, he started as the wine guy, right?
He did.
But he was like, people know me for wine. I don't want to be stuck into just that niche. I want people to know me for me. So I think he's a great example of a personal brand because he's taken that and expanded it. And that's where I think other platforms really do help. And it's also why what I'm doing with LinkedIn is this. Any of my Instagram content, if it's generic enough where I can turn it into LinkedIn content, sometimes just by changing the title Instagram to LinkedIn. So I had like, you know, 5 illustrations you can use on Instagram. I went into Canva, changed Instagram into 5 illustrations you can use on LinkedIn, and I reposted it. I see tons of people repurposing, but they don't do that step. They just repost their Instagram content on LinkedIn and they're not growing, right? So just match the purpose of the new audience you're on and don't get stuck into just Instagram is what I would say. But one last thing as a disclaimer, I originally tried to repurpose too early. I tried to be on too many platforms like a year ago and it really slowed me down. And you know me, this is my thoughts on Clubhouse. Sean is going to laugh because I mention Clubhouse in a negative way almost every time I'm on a live, which I don't actually dislike Clubhouse as much as it sounds. I think it's a very unique and interesting platform. But I think a lot of people were doing really well on Instagram. And then as soon as they heard about Clubhouse, they jumped ship over to Clubhouse and they're ignoring Instagram. But Instagram, you know, is a platform that's here to stay. It's a platform where the content you create stays visible. Clubhouse, it doesn't. We speak for 8 hours and there's no trace of that after. So that's just my thing is everyone find your home base, find one platform that you can be like a rock star on and then start to branch out is what I would say.
Golden advice. Anyone who just heard that, please hit the hearts because that is amazing, amazing advice. Because especially if you're an introvert, right?
Yeah.
You have very limited energy to actually devote to social things, social media, putting your message out there. So I'd love to know your thoughts on this, Lucas, since I just discovered that you're an introvert, which is music to my ears. You're one of us, one of us.
Yeah, exactly.
How are you able to portray such a social image as someone who's, you know, happy to dance on Reels, happy to, you know, be funny on Reels, happy to be on lives like these, happy to just consistently put your name, face, content out there? How do you manage to do that? What does it take?
I would just say like a ton of practice, right? Like, like we always say this where it's like when you're comfortable with something, you're not growing. So stepping out of the comfort zone is where growth happens. And I absolutely agree with that. Like I'd heard it and I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like a few years ago, but until I've actually, now that I've done this and I've really experienced it, I see the power of that is just pushing yourself and stepping out of your comfort zone. My favorite example to give to people, because so many of us don't like video content. I'm not on YouTube because I still don't like video content. I love live content now. Like this is one of my favorite mediums to communicate with. Mm-hmm. But I still don't like recorded video, right? I still don't like it very much. It's almost because you can go back and edit it. So you need the perfect page and whatnot, right? Like that's what I don't like. But my biggest tip that I like to reference in terms of practice and building that comfort level is with things like video content. When I was starting, probably 2-3 years ago. I almost wanted to get into like vlogging like 2-3 years ago. So I bought all the gear and I was like practicing to see how I could do. And what I did was I just wrote down a list of topics. Okay, yesterday's basketball game, right? Mm-hmm. The weather today, what I want to do next summer, I don't know, like write down a list of topics. And then I just challenge myself every single morning or whatever time of day, doesn't have to be morning, pick up your phone and say, okay, I'm going to pick this topic. I'm going to pick last night's Toronto Raptors game and record yourself sideways or whatever portrait and look into your camera and speak about it for just 2-3 minutes, whatever your timer is, set a timer, speak about that topic as if you are just, you know, talking to no one, talking to the camera and record for 2 minutes. That's it. Speak about the topic, stay on track. And then I would watch it once. I would look at how it went. Give myself a little bit of feedback without being too harsh, because I think that's important too. We can really be harsh on ourselves, but give yourself a little bit of feedback and then delete it. And I did that every day for like 30 days straight. Different topics. The topic didn't matter. It was just the communication style. And that really gave me that comfort in being on camera in the first place. Because then you work on things like, which I'm still terrible at, you work on things like looking at the screen, or like looking at the camera. Which lives I never do because I look at the person I'm live with, right?
Yeah.
But you work on that. You work on just pushing through if you like stammer on something or get stuck. And it really just helps you communicate concisely. So that is something I really urge everyone to try doing if you are nervous on video. And video is huge. Like I am just realizing it more and more every day, even as someone who likes video. The power of video content isn't going anywhere. It's not going to stop. So anybody, if you really want to stand out and be known, try video. And anybody can do it, I think. Anybody can do it. It's all about just working up that courage and working up, building that habit and going from there.
And you know what's funny? I just remembered this. The way I started getting on video was I did Danielle and Paige's story challenge. It was a 7-day challenge where you had to post one 15-second story every single day. And I remember on my very first one, like before I posted it, I actually DM'd you saying, Lucas, I'm about to do my very first story. Yep. I don't know. And you're like, it's okay. Just tag me. It's okay. You know, I'm here for you. It was so reassuring. So, you know, first of all, you can just start with the story. It disappears after 24 hours.
Yep.
Zero commitment.
Or close
doesn't
friends.
Matter. You know, and you can tag the people that you like so they come and support you. And that really does help a lot. Just starting small. And understanding that putting your face out there does help, even if you can build a brand without showing your face. I'm a big proponent of that as well.
Yep.
If showing your face is keeping you from building your personal brand, don't use that as an excuse. Right. So showing your face and getting fun on Reels. Is there a formula for that, Lucas? How do we become fun on Reels?
Yes, let's go. First of all, I have to shout out, so Mr. Colin Harris gave a hilarious comment. He said, introverts talking to no one on camera is pure introvert energy. That's
awesome. You know, that's true. I love doing that, you know, but if I know that I'm talking to a group, I freeze up.
Yeah. So Reels, and this is what I will tell everybody. Okay. Being on Reels isn't actually as hard as it seems. It could be, which is funny because it's so intimidating. And again, someone else just said Reels is his own art form. I totally agree.
Yeah.
So knowing that, let's use that. Perfect timing to have that content or that comment. Knowing that Reels is like its own art form, TikTok mm-hmm. is its own art form. They're a way to communicate that is very mm-hmm. unique because mm-hmm. they're short, they're vertical, they use fun effects. They don't have to be dance or movement or humor oriented, but that's just a great approach. Mm-hmm. Now that we know that, in the same way that like watercolor painting is its own art form. And if you wanted to start watercolor painting, you would look up how to do watercolor painting. Everyone, I think, should really look at that. Don't just view Reels as how can I be on video? Mm-hmm. View Reels as how can I be on video doing Reels? Like how do I have to be unique to do that? And the number one tip I say is just watch Reels. Mm-hmm. I've been going to that Reels tab so much more for the longest time, which Instagram loves. Like Instagram wants us using that Reels tab because they want to build that habit. And it is, I'm catching on. Like I'm starting to get a little bit addicted to it, which I never thought I would do because it's on, mm-hmm. it's on Instagram. So we have the main feed, we have the story feed, we have our DMs, and we have mm-hmm. that Reels feed was often very ignored. But now that I've been using it, because every day I look for inspiration, mm-hmm. Go on that Reels tab, watch for like 15 minutes, make sure it doesn't mm-hmm. become an hour by accident, because that can happen, but watch for 15 minutes and mm-hmm. pay attention to what is hooking you in, what has a lot of views. You can always see those hearts on the side, guys, like right mm-hmm. here when you're watching the reel, mm-hmm. what got a lot of hearts, because that means a lot of views, and pay attention to that. And as you listen to an audio file or a song or just what someone's doing, think about how you can apply that to your niche. And this is the great thing about TikTok that has transferred over to Reels mm-hmm. is it's, I always said when I used to talk about TikTok, it is like it allows copycat culture. Like it's okay to be a copycat. And not in like a word for word way. Like don't do a reel that someone else did and then just like completely copy it. But because there are so many trends, you're invited to apply. Like it's part of the platform on TikTok and now Reels to look at that trend and apply it to your own, right? Mm-hmm. Like a big one right now is there's that song. I forget what the song is, but
Hopeful for like, Too Late, the one that Trevor did yesterday.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
That's my next one. I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, right. And that's a perfect example because like I've seen so many of those. But mm-hmm. the nice thing about Reels and TikTok is it's not the point where I'm just like, oh, I've seen this so many times, I'm sick of it. It's no, I want to see what this person did.
What else are they doing?
And that's the magic of Reels. Well, I'm going to say Reels. Everything I'm talking about originated from TikTok. Yeah. We know that. But that is the magic of Reels is that because you copied, and again, copying has like a negative connotation. In this term, mm-hmm. it's not. Because you, let's say, followed a trend, you are now already having that hook where someone wants to watch it because they're familiar with the trend, right? And for anybody mm-hmm. not sure, yes, it's I Am Hopeful, right? Is that what it's called?
That's the one.
Just said that. Thank you. Yep. So it's I Am Hopeful. It's like, yes, I am, or something like that. And it's like, you're pretending to do something, you plan to do something, and then like the screen goes like into like a zoom in or black and white. And it says
amazing.
Like, Lucas did not in fact do that. Lucas proceeded to do this. So that is a super easy one that like anybody can join. And mm-hmm. I like that as an example of how with Reels, we are invited to look at the trends and to go make them. Just before we got on this, I was going through Reels and I heard a brand new audio. And as soon as I heard it, it had nothing. I think the actual reel was about the show Riverdale, but the audio, okay. So it's nothing to do with my niche, but the audio, I heard it and I was just like, you know what? I can easily apply that to Instagram. I can make that an Instagram thing. So I will be probably recording that right after this. And that's the way you guys want to think. Listen to the audio, look at what someone else is doing and think about how you can make it relatable to your niche. And that's a great place to start, in my opinion.
Love it. Love it. So content creation is a time sink, right? There, it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of energy, you know, and ain't nobody got time for that most of the time. So how do we manage? Like, you are a teacher, right? You're still a teacher, right? And you juggle this. How do you manage? How do you manage Reels, content, everything, repurposing with your full-time job?
Yeah, so... first off, with Reels, the good thing about Reels is those are like my fun content where mm-hmm. Reels are the only content that I make every day. So like, and usually as soon as I finish teaching for the day, because I'll get off at like 3:30. And right now we're back into another lockdown here. So I'm back to online. But I will hop on Reels and I'll usually make one right after. Because I've been on camera teaching online all day, so mm-hmm. I'm still fine with camera. And that's kind of my little break. Like I enjoy doing that. everything else, I really need to have a system in terms of doing it. And many people know this. I do it on Saturday. So doing it on Saturday is a great place to, is a great time to just like know what the week's going to look like, think about the topics and get to it. Which really my actual process is that I think about, okay, if I need 5 days of content, what are five high performing topics that I can really use? My midweek, Monday to Friday, is always when I get the best growth. So I always try to post the best content I can Monday to Friday. And I really just look at a few things. I look at my previous topics that I've done really well. And you guys know me, wherever I can, I will reuse and recycle my content. My rule of thumb is if it's been even like, if it's been like 2 months, if your account's growing really quickly, you can probably get away with every 1 month. But I usually do every like 2 months or so. I will just go and I'll take an old topic that did really well and I'll just recreate it with a different cover and a little bit different style, maybe update any new things I've learned, and I'll post it again. And they usually do even better the next time and the next time, which is a sign for me to keep on doing it. Right. So, reuse what you can. And another thing I always say too is reuse the same topic. So talk about something in like seven ways instead of just talking about it once and then having to think of a new topic. Instead of people having, you know, 30 things to talk about so they can talk about something different every day of a month, I say have 3 things to talk about it and talk about each one in 10 ways. And there's your 30 posts, right? So you'll see, I know that hashtags are back on people's minds. So I talk about hashtags a lot, right? I know that, what else can we say? Engagement, how to engage. It's another big thing I talk about a lot. And a third one, I probably do like just general strat or kind of like insider hacks that kind of work on Instagram, but also I do a lot of ideas posts. So like, here are my story ideas. Here are some content ideas. And I can recycle through those quite a bit. Last thing I'll say on that, my big thing is I think it's creative to be able to talk about the same topic 50 times. It's not lazy. Yeah. Someone might say it's lazy. I think it's creative because then you really show that you know what you're talking about.
That makes you an expert, right? Because you become known as the person who knows about that thing. If you're going to post about hashtag 15 times, because we know you've made the deal with the devil, I know that I'm going to come to you if I have a question about hashtags, even if it's reaching out in the DMs, right? That's still you getting that brand awareness.
Exactly. Yeah. And I like, again, I'll keep using the Gary Vee example. But I used to, there was a time when I was doing a lot of driving as well. So I would just listen to Gary Vee's podcast. And this was before COVID when he was doing tons of speaking engagements at the big conferences. And those were always my favorite to listen to. Because he would do like a keynote. That's what it is. He would do a keynote. But it got to the point where I actually got bored of Gary Vee's content because even though I loved his energy, I had listened to the same keynote by him like probably 50 times without exaggerating. The same keynote, but the audience loved it. I even liked it a few times, but it got to the point where I would fast forward to like the Q&A because I knew that was unique and I wouldn't know what questions people would answer. But I still really enjoyed that because he had spoken about it so many times that now that's the person I associate with all of this stuff, right? That's why I've referenced him like 6 times already. So it's all about, like you said, becoming that expert, becoming known as that source of information in that niche.
That is so awesome. So let me ask you a big question now, Lucas.
Yes.
You've spent a considerable time building your personal brand. You have a sizable audience now. But beyond that, what has your biggest win been as a result of your personal brand? You now have brand sponsorships, you know, you've had opportunities. What's the big thing where you're like, damn, I never thought that would be possible, but look at that.
That's a really good question. I think this kind of stuff. So being on a live video and getting, we have a wonderful audience right now. I know it's above your screen, but I'm going to point up. We have a wonderful audience right now, this kind of thing, right? Being able to carry, I think, a live audience for an extended period of time where you are just speaking and people are listening to you. That's been my biggest win. And just to be able to kind of, just fathoming that is still kind of like a like mind blowing to me that I can kind of realize that many people, especially on Instagram, where Instagram is a platform where it's kind of hard to tune into one thing. Like I think Shauna was saying this, but I don't, or someone was saying this week, but something I don't like about Instagram is you can't have like a live playing and then also just go do other stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, it was a Sweet Afternoon who was in the chat, my friend Karen. She was saying, like, you can't, it sucks that you can't just be on live and listen in and then scroll through the feed or do other stuff, right? Like, that's a huge letdown on Instagram. So the fact that people are actually kind of avoiding the feed and tuning into a live on Instagram, I think is huge. Oh, Shauna just said you can now. Okay, sweet. Okay, so that's why. So both of them mentioned it. I know because Shauna showed me this in the story the other day. That's what it was. So that's awesome. That's huge.
That is awesome. Desktop. But Lucas, any questions, anything to say before we dive right into questions?
Yeah, so I have a question for you. I have a question for you that I've wanted to ask you. And I was going to DM you this, but as soon as we planned this live, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait till the live. So again, we've mentioned how a huge part, like my favorite part about your course, well, mm-hmm. besides the workbook, I actually got to shout out the workbook in your course. I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't think mm-hmm. enough courses have an actual workbook. And I think your course is worth it for the workbook alone, I would just say. But besides that, I like how like having that brand clarity that leads to confidence mm-hmm. is a big part of your course. So one segment of your course is you talk about the different brand archetypes, right?
Yeah.
So different, like different kind of, I guess, pillars that are like different, I guess, personalities and personas that categories that different brands associate with. So I have a question for you. What brand archetype do you think my brand has been? I've been dying to ask.
Oh, brand archetype? The beard man. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. Brand archetype. Great question. Okay. So from what I know about you so far and the way you've portrayed yourself so far, I probably classify you as the hero.
Okay.
The hero or the everyman, the guy who's the part of the community. So the hero, basically what he focuses on is overcoming obstacles and looking for solutions, right? Okay. He doesn't want glory. He doesn't want attention, but he gets it anyway, right? Nice.
I already like this.
Yeah. one example of a hero that I really like is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
He's just out there doing his thing, you know, eating his cookies, eating his sushi, you know, dominating the world. Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Top paid actor, I think, right now.
The people love to give him attention, you know, because he's such a feel good kind of a guy. But he's also, you know, at the top of his game, he's the authority. But another one you may want to consider, which I think might be in there, is also the everyman, who is basically equal with the community. He doesn't want to be higher than the community. He doesn't want to be the authority. He wants to be in the brotherhood with people, right? But I do feel like you kind of stand out a bit more from the community, even if you're not trying to. So I think the hero might be perfect for you.
Nice. And the thing I love about how you broke these down, because you mentioned celebrities that kind of help people understand celebrity examples. I saw that and I was like, I've always heard about the brand archetypes, but never like fully understood them. Yeah. But then as soon as you gave a bunch of celebrities who like you said with The Rock, but mm-hmm. you give a celebrity for every archetype, I was just like, that's awesome. I can now perfectly envision someone for this, 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 and this, and this. That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, that's awesome. Question. Yay. Yeah. And the workbook also has a very detailed breakdown of each as well. Right. So guys, if you are interested, please take a look at the course. Definitely. And we're going to dive into the Q&A. So Lucas, any preferences? Are you looking for Instagram questions, brand questions? It's a free for all.
Yep. Anything. Yep. And I'm sure if I can't answer it, like we can go back and forth. We can probably both chime in too, because branding's not my thing. But if anything that comes up, we could, between the two of us, I think we can get these all through.
I think so. And many of these we've kind of like answered already. So let's pick something. Let's start with something technical from my friend Ujjwal. Do you know if Instagram differentiates between time spent on the app versus the web?
Oh, like between desktop?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think I don't think Instagram is really looking at our how long we're on. It's looking at how much input we're putting, how many times we're tapping buttons, how many times we're commenting on things, engaging with things. So that's a great question. But I think in terms of how long it's looking at, especially from an algorithm perspective, mm-hmm. it looks at how many times we are putting in some sort of input. So if you're clicking the heart on desktop view, sometimes I like to actually reply to my comments on desktop because it's so much faster.
Yeah.
Or DMs, I'll go through that. But I think it just looks at how many times you are putting in input to Instagram. So I don't think it differentiates.
All right. Okay. We've got beard questions. Okay. Let's look at another one. Do you have a team that helps you with showing up?
No. Yeah. So I think you and I are in the same boat on this, but I do it all myself. Potentially to my detriment sometimes. Like I think I'm sure there are ways I could be way more effective and productive mm-hmm. if I did have a team. Mm-hmm. I'm not there yet. I think, you know, one day, who knows? I'm sure I'll have to eventually to scale mm-hmm. to a certain point. Yeah. But right now I like to be in control. I'm most comfortable when I'm in control of my account. There mm-hmm. was a time in like January where I tried like because when I was getting back to teaching, I considered trying to get someone to design my content. And I got them to do like 3 or 4 posts and I just couldn't do it. And, they were a wonderful designer, but, and wonderful writer, but it just wasn't me. So I had to go back to like I think my content is the best when it comes from me, because people can tell when it's from me. And those posts were underperforming. And I was like sensitive about that. I was like, it needs to be me again. I need to go back to this. I just feel much more comfortable in the driver's seat of my account and my audience and my community. So right now it's just me, and I don't see that changing yet. We'll see.
Okay. No, I hear you. It's not easy, guys, but what does help is processes. Like Lucas said, you can batch all of your content on one single day. So you free up your brain to do other things. So I think just look at your schedule and what works for you, and go from there. So this is kind of a loaded one. Maybe we could answer this in like one or two sentences. How to understand your target audience and create content around that.
Because that is a huge one. My big thing is if you're just starting, first of all, look at the other accounts in your niche, and look like the bigger accounts. Like look at my account, look at Seema's account, and look at the topics that have done really well for us, right? If we're in the same niche as you, look at the topics that have done really well for us, because your target audience is probably the same as our target audience, right? So look at that and then put those topics into your own terms and your own words, and make it your own. That's what I would say is a big thing. Okay. So guys, try to do that. Because then your target audience is already out there, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody really has their unique target audience right away. Mm-hmm. I think we should find our own, which is why I think you've done a great example of switching to the introvert target audience, right? Because you started with branding, and now you are filling a really important need of branding for people who are introverted. So I think start with a more general target audience. I know we said one or two sentences. Now I'm like rambling on with this, but start with a more general target audience, and then and use what other people have done, and then focus in based on who you resonate with and who you want to resonate with the most.
Mm-hmm. And there's one thing to note here, guys: the more general your content is, the more brand awareness you have. So you can probably grow quicker. More people will come to your page. More people will follow. Don't be afraid to niche down just because you feel like people won't follow. But what's going to happen is the right people will find you, right? Yep. And that's a decision only you can make on whether that's something that you want to do. But great answer there. And Ginger's saying she niched down and she loves it. And Ginger just hit 3,000, so please congratulate
her. That's huge. Yes, I saw it today.
All right.
That is true. You do, like, when you niche down, you are posting about what you want and you're saying it in the way you want, right? So even content creation feels so much more right. So you'll hit less like creative blocks or writer's blocks if you are niching down, because you like what you're talking about, right?
Next one from Sneha. There is a lot of competition out there. How should we stand out from others? Due to a lot of competition, how do we do our best to stand out, probably?
So comes full circle, personal brand, right? Like, I think here's what I would say. There's a lot of competition out there, but there are way more audience than competition. So there are millions of people out there looking for content, especially now, right? Like there are millions of people looking for content and not enough creators putting out content still. So make sure you are using your personal brand in a way that speaks to your ideal audience, right? And that wants that gets those people to choose you from the competition. That being said, we've given a few examples here. Showing up on video, showing up on live, those more intimate style ways to communicate, those are really the best ways to stand out, because someone might not, like from your content, from your writing, someone might not know if you are that person they look up to or that who they want to get information from yet. But all it takes is one live session where they're hearing you communicate, or they're hearing how passionate about something you are. They're hearing your story, which is another big thing. My teaching background, I think, has been a big part of getting people comfortable. And Seema, I remember when we were first starting on here, and when we were first like communicating or showing up on lives, I don't think I used the teacher thing. I think I hid it for a very long time. First, I didn't want to getting out that much. And I didn't, you know, like I told you my fears of like students finding me and whatnot, right? I didn't want to cross over into that world. But now that's a big part of my brand. That's a big part of my identity and my story that I think has made me stand out. So again, find that way that people will look up to you and look at you as unique and just use it. And competition won't matter from there.
So at what point do you decide that, okay, I'm ready to use my real name? Because that took you a while as well.
Yeah, because you are always a real name, right? And you are lucky you have your real name. It's funny because I'm going to throw this in here. The guy who has the Lucas O'Keefe Instagram, he reached out to me like a few months ago, and he was like, hey man, random question. Would you ever want to buy this from me? And And he asked if I wanted to buy the Lucas O'Keefe. I have Lucas. I have Lucas A. O'Keefe. My middle name is Andreas, so I have Lucas A. O'Keefe. I have that, which I might just go if I ever wanted to. But I said, honestly, man, to be honest, having the in front of my name actually kind of helps, because that kind of gets me into the same kind of suggested for you or searches as, like, you know, the Christos, the Chris Doe, right? Mm-hmm. Those kind of people. So right now it's actually, I think, benefiting me to have the Lucas O'Keefe. So he didn't, I don't know. That was it. He didn't reply after that, but I think he was getting a little bit sick of it because people kept tagging him. He went private after that. I think he wanted to get rid of it. So he was like, let me see if I can get some money here, because, people kept tagging, he was getting tons of tags and notifications, people tagging, thinking they were tagging me. Oh. They're tagging him. So I think he's getting a little bit sick of it. So if I just wait it out, maybe he'll relinquish it soon. If enough people don't go tag him, people don't go do this, please.
I think the verified badge might be coming soon then. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
I wish. I do think it's hard. On a note of verification, I do think it's harder in our niche. I think, because I know people with a lot of publicity out there already, like tons. Like, you search them and they've been putting in the work with like articles and publicity, and they haven't gotten it yet. So I think it's tough in our niche. I guess because I think Instagram has to be careful with business coaching and things like that. I think Instagram has to be really careful with who they verify. Because there are some people who I think years ago used like the sketchier tactics and got it. And I don't hear of Instagram taking away verification at all or very often. So now you see a lot of accounts who shouldn't be verified, but are. And they're kind of sending you those sketchy DMs for like follow groups and engagement groups. And they're verified, which kind of makes it dangerous because people are going to trust that a lot more. Mm-hmm. So I think those people have kind of ruined it for all of us. And it's going to be harder for us to get verified in the long run.
Maybe. Honestly, it doesn't really matter as long as you're staying authentic, right?
Yes.
Because one big thing that the verified badge does is that it keeps you from being impersonated. If there are people out there who are trying to impersonate you, they're not going to get you very far, right? Because they're not you. So guys, don't chase the verified badge. It's just a badge. Don't think that that's the be all and end all.
My big example on this topic is, I look at, and maybe he hasn't tried, but I look at like Chris Doe, and I have no idea why he's not verified. And that's when I wonder if either maybe he just doesn't really care for it that much and hasn't applied. But he is I think of anyone in our niche, and he's even kind of beyond our niche, right? Anyone I think of, the number one person I think of who isn't verified and should be is Chris Doe. And I know he's had a lot of problems lately with people. He's been posting in his stories. People have been like pretending to be him and making fake Chris Doe accounts.
I saw his
and saying
story.
Like, hey, send me money for this and blah, blah, blah. So that's proof that first of all, he deserves it on his merit and what he's done, but he needs it for that reason. So that's where I wonder if it's difficult for our niche to get verified, because if he doesn't have it, that's strange. He either hasn't applied, but there's definitely enough publicity. He has enough content out there to show up and deserve it. So that's what baffles me.
My guess is he probably hasn't applied for it. Like, even someone like Dot Long, right? She is like everywhere.
Yeah. I actually just assumed she had it, to be honest, but that's a good point. She's someone I just assume was verified. Yeah,
even Vanessa Lau is not. Shauna is asking, no, Vanessa Lau is not. So might be something with that niche or something that they're doing.
That's what I think.
Okay, so we have 5 minutes. I know this question is on everybody's mind, so let's just give like a very quick blanket answer. I am slowly becoming a small business entrepreneur. How do I how do I grow my channel from 450-ish followers? Like, basically, how do we grow as a business?
My big thing is start out by just as if you had an actual business. Start by looking like at one-to-one connections that are going to get people talking about your business. I think everybody goes for the fast way to grow in the beginning, right? They think 500 followers isn't much. They think 1,000 followers isn't very much. So they need to get like 5, 10, 15, 20K. But we always hear this example, look at a picture of 50 people in a room and that room looks packed. Mm-hmm. Or like look at a picture of 100 people, and many people can get 100 followers very quickly, right? Mm-hmm. But very few people, like, so 100 followers is like a breeze. You can get that in like a week, right? But 100 people who you are talking to and know by name and know you and are having good conversations with you, that can take months. But that's what really helps you grow. So I just tell everybody, be patient and focus on making those one-to-one connections as best you can, because those are the people that are going to help you snowball. I think I, and you have this too, I think we both have probably 100 to 250 really concrete relationships and people that we know and talk to regularly, or we were talking to regularly when we were starting. Mm-hmm. And those people are still the people who are regularly commenting on our accounts. Mm-hmm. We're still regularly commenting. Like you and I are two great examples of this, right? We're regularly commenting on their accounts and supporting them. We're doing collabs and things like that, right? Those 250 people are what allow you to snowball. Because if you have 250 people who are just liking and liking and then moving on, that's not going to help you. Yeah. You have 250 people who are liking, commenting, DMing you. You're liking their content. They're going live. They're engaging on your live. That scales fast and in a positive way. So just take it slow. And like Alan just said, build that core tribe.
I could not agree more. Yeah. And I think that all of us who kind of like started at the same time and had kind of like group friendship going.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so important to have this, not just from a growth point of view, but also understand how the machine works. The machine looks at engagement only. It doesn't matter who it's coming from, right? So if you're actually, you have people who are supporting each other because you actually like the other person and like what they're doing, you're supporting them. That is essentially the secret sauce if you're just getting started. So don't think, oh, I need to buy the followers and that number matters. The number is just a reflection on a very vain metric that people don't really look at when doing business. They look at you, your authority, and if you know what you're talking about, right?
And the thing I'll add to that is I am more, if you ask me what I'm more proud of, my follower, like going on that account and seeing how many followers I have, or going on one of my posts and seeing how many comments I get within like the first 30 minutes, I'm way more proud of that, right? Like, and let's say it's only, like I'm saying only, but let's say it's 350 comments, which is way smaller than 100,000 followers, but 350 real comments on a post is like 10 times more valuable than 100,000 followers. I don't know why I'm pointing here, but it's way more valuable than 100,000 followers. Because that's real engagement that drives you and tells other people, okay, this is a good account. There's a lot going on here. Mm-hmm. This is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the simple understanding right there, everybody.
Completely understand. I'm only responsible for like 300 of those comments every single time.
Yeah, yeah. I told you, you need to sell a subscription service where you go leave very funny or very like funny conversation prompting comments on people's posts. Whether they pin it or not, like I don't think I even pinned it right away. Mm-mm. Cause I didn't see it right away. And like, I came back and your comment had like 30 something likes and like tons more comments. So you made that engagement booster. I think that, and that post was my best all week. It got like 5,000 likes or went on the Explorer or something. So you know what? Couldn't say that was thanks to you.
It's brand awareness, guys. Like, think of every single comment that you're leaving or everything that you're saying online as a billboard, right? Like that particular thing, 30 people liked it. You know, so many people commented. Yep. So I have at least 60 people who saw my comment, maybe more, right? And it also helps your friend as well, because look, if your comment can help your friend get engagement, that is a good thing. You know, they're getting higher engagement. So think of it that way. Don't think competition. Don't think anything. It's just, you know, being part of a tribe. We're all in this together.
And we have a great example, not to shout this out, but we have a great example going on in the comments right now where someone's just putting spam comments and they're leaving a billboard of probably why no one here is going to follow them or really give them much credibility, because that is how you're representing yourself. You're showing that you're a spammer and nobody here is really going to go for that. So even though I'm giving you the satisfaction of shouting you out right now, which I probably shouldn't, it's in a negative way, and good luck, man.
There we go. And on that note, Lucas, this was fantastic. Like, thank you so much for giving me your time. I know you've got a lot going on, and thank you for taking my course and, you know, telling us what you thought about it. Guys, my personal brand mastery course is a beginner level starter kit, basically, that will help you get started. It's on a reduced price right now, $50 versus $79 for a limited time only. Lucas, you're phenomenal. Okay. Thank you so much for being here. If there's any questions that you feel were not answered or would like answered, please send us a DM. It may take us a while to get back to you, but we're happy to do that. Please go follow Lucas. He is hitting 100K, and he is a social media maven. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for being here. Lucas, you are the best. You and your
beard. You too. Thank you. Have a great weekend, guys.
And with that note, I'm going to end this episode. I hope this was useful.
If you're an ambitious introvert and you want to start attracting your dream client by building your personal brand, come find me on Instagram at Seema Batavia. Reach out to me with any questions or concerns. I'm always happy to hear from you. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Have a great week. And please stay safe.